the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
I want you to open your Bible, if you brought it, to the book of 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. Praise the Lord. Last Sunday, I believe it was, started talking about revelation, believing God for revelation. And I just keep getting that on my heart. We're going to share some more about it today. Jesus in the 16th, you're going to 2 Corinthians 4, but Jesus in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, there mentioned in verses 17 through 19 that, you know, well, first of all, backing up, Peter, you know, said that, Jesus said, "Who do men say I am?" And Jesus was asking all the disciples. And Peter spoke up and he said, "Thou art, I believe, yet you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's who I see. That's who I believe you are. And Jesus said, "You're blessed, Peter." How many of you know when you get that revelation, it changes you. It blesses you. Jesus is no longer just a historical figure. He is the Christ, the Redeemer of mankind, the Savior, the Deliverer, the way out of sin, the way out of all the mess that sin creates. Amen. Amen. And then there's so much more to him. But whenever Peter got that revelation, Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto me, but my Father which is in heaven." And Jesus then said, "Upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Now, you could look at that really three different ways. What rock? Well, how many of you know the church is built upon the foundation of, the Bible says in Ephesians, the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. In other words, the foundation under the entire church is Jesus. Amen. The apostles and prophets got revelation of Jesus, but it's built on Jesus. Hallelujah. So you could look at it that way when Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church." In other words, I'll build the church on me. You could say, "Upon this rock of revelation of me, revelation of who I am, I'm going to build my church." Amen. And that would be scriptural. Amen. And so you could say that's what he's talking about. "Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it." It's not just that the church isn't just built on Jesus. It's built on revelation of who Jesus is. It's built on revelation. And so when he said upon this rock, you could say he's talking about upon this rock of revelation of who I am. You know, when people don't have revelation of who he is, they do like Saul did on the road to Damascus. They persecute him. I saw a Hollywood figure this week curse the name of Jesus, and they all thought it was funny. No revelation of who he is. If Jesus stood up in front of him and revealed all that he was, he would bow the knee. Amen. But no revelation, you know. So, but there's another thing you could say he's saying. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Peter had gotten revelation of who Jesus was, and then he said, he confessed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And you could say that's the rock he's talking about. But either way, really probably all three of them. Upon the rock Jesus himself, upon the rock of revelation of who Jesus is, and upon the rock of confession of that revelation. Revelation of the Word of God, of spiritual truth, of course, who God is, who Jesus is, revelation of God's plan for us, revelation of the Holy Spirit, his plan for us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, all these things. Revelation of spiritual truth, revelation of God, revelation of the things of God, revelation of the Bible, revelation of the things of the Spirit. Those are the beginning of everything starting to work for you. Revelation of Jesus as Savior is the beginning of you entering into having him as your Savior. Revelation of Jesus as healer is the beginning of you walking in him being your healer. But the activation of all revelation is confession. I said the activation of all revelation is confession. You can know him, but not confess him. Remember, there was people in the gospel, Gospel of John, actually, one place that said many believed on him, and even the Pharisees and the doctors of the law and the scribes believed on him, the Bible said, but they did not confess him for fear of the Jews. Well, what good is that? Someone said, you know, God might accept that. Wait a minute. The devils believe and tremble. They're not saved. They know who Jesus is. You can know who Jesus is, but he's not that. He doesn't become that to you without confession of the revelation. That's when it gets activated. Philemon 1:6, the communication of our faith becomes, the word communication means the sharing, really. It's not a good translation. The faith we share in common is the best way to translate it. The faith we share in common becomes active, literally the Greek says, by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in us in Christ. Amen. Amen. That's how things become active. That's how what is in this book, the revelation in this book. How many of you know we were sharing last Sunday? You can read this book and read the ink on the pages and not get what it's saying. We've all done that. But then there's times where it comes off the page, we say. It is revealed to us. It's like somebody, it's like whenever they, I don't know if the military actually uses cloaks to cover up their new equipment that comes out, but you'll see it sometimes with cars or maybe Apple's producing a new computer or cell phone or something. It'll be sitting out there on the stage with a black cloth over it, and then there's a reveal ceremony. They pull the cloak off of it. And all of a sudden, there it is. Everybody sees it for the first time. Well, that's really what the word revelation really means. You see something you never saw before. I said, you see it. It literally means, the word revelation means to unveil or to remove the veil. You know what I'm talking about? Let me see if I can find it here. To unveil that which was one hidden, to draw away the veil of darkness over the mind or the heart, that someone might see. Amen. Paul, on the road to Damascus, had the veil taken off of his eyes of who Jesus really was. And whenever he had the veil taken off, he bowed the knee and served him for the rest of his life. Even gave his life for him. Amen. Amen. And so we're talking about that. We believe that that's a big, big, big issue. In fact, that's why Christians do what they do. That's why they act out the way they act. They don't see what they need to see. That's why they live without, because they don't see what they need to see. This is huge in the Bible, and we'll see how long we get unction on this. But anyway, book of 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, did you find that? 2 Corinthians 4, let's read verse number 18. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen. Are you believing for utterance today? Yes. We look not at the things which are seen. We look not at the things which are seen. That's natural things. But, notice what he said, at the things, or we could add there, we look at the things which are not seen. Who does? That's us. Amen. That's us. It's like if you're in the Wizard of Oz play at high school, and it says this is you. Let's say you're playing Tin Man. Then that's you in the play. And whenever it says Tin Man says this, Tin Man does this, then that's you. So you act out the part. So when it says we look at the things that are not seen, we mark it down. Okay, that's me. That's who I am. That's the way I live. Here's what the Bible says. I do. This is my part. I look at things that are not seen. Somebody said, that's impossible. What are you talking about? You can't see things that can't be seen. Apparently you can. We look not at the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen. Things which are seen are temporal. Isn't that good news? Oh, the present order of this world is going to pass away. Things which are seen are temporal. Things which are not seen that we look at I got to read it like it says it, that we look at, they're eternal. Oh, how much time you got today? I'm believing God for utterance in ways I haven't uttered things this morning. He said, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. What does that mean? We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Down in chapter 5, verse number 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Notice that part, not by sight. Faith is what looks at what can't be seen. It takes faith to look at what's not seen. Well, let's get a little more understanding. Let's think about this a little bit, because it's to a lot of people, they don't understand. What he's saying is there's more than one kind of seeing. Our physical eyes can see natural things, but our physical eyes can't see spiritual things, can't see the invisible realm. The Bible talks about the realm of the spirit. There's angels there. God, of course, is there. Jesus is there. Heaven is there. There is a real throne of grace. There are so spiritual substances and commodities and weapons and tools and armor and all kinds of things that you can't see. How about the breastplate of righteousness? How about the shield of faith? How about the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit? All these things. These are not figments of somebody's imagination. These are not just nothingness. There are real things in the spirit realm. There are things, they're just as much things as what is seen. There are things that are in the unseen realm that are just as much, they have substance to them, in other words, just as much as things in the seen realm. Now, to people of unbelief, that's not so. But we're not talking to people of unbelief. We're talking to people of faith. That's the way we live. We live with the knowledge we will stand before the throne of God, which cannot be seen, and give an account for our lives. We live with that reality. It's not, most of us do. Live with that reality. The choices we make, the things we say, the decisions, our what we do, how we treat people, all that. We live with the reality. We'll give an account for that. There's a real throne of grace. There's a real heaven. There's a real God. There's a real judgment seat. There's a real Jesus. There's a real path. My Bible talks about in Hebrews 12, run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. There's a real path in the spirit realm that we must take. And that requires the right choices. And we're going to give an account for that. Those are all things that are enigmas to most people. But the world needs to recognize that just because they can't see it doesn't mean it's not so. I've never seen my physical heart. Come on, that's right. But it's there. Now, that's a natural illustration about something in the natural. If that's true about something in the natural, how much more in the spiritual? Scientists are looking for the smallest building block of all matter. Remember, for a while they thought it was the cell, then the atom, then they kept going small and small. I don't know where they are now. It's beyond quarks, I think. The last one I remember is quarks. I think there's one or two beyond that, but I'll just talk about quarks. I've never seen a quark. I'm not talking about on the top of a sparkling juice glass. I'm not talking about a quark. I'm talking about something they found atoms are made out of. And there's a couple beyond that now. But anyway, the point is that they're there. And when they found the quarks, they said, it's interesting because it looks sort of like a sound wave. I thought to myself when I saw that or heard that, that's not interesting. That's reality. God said, and it was. but we digress. There are things that you cannot see that are real. The quicker that those things become real to you and become real to your consciousness, the better, the easier, let's put it that way, the easier walking by faith will be. When the Bible says, talking about as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. When the Bible says His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the Son of God, and we get that prompting, we get that leading, that should be something that we live by, because we live by the unseen. You can't see that. You can't feel it. It's not a physical feeling. It's a spiritual witness. It's an inward knowing. I talked to somebody just recently regarding a decision in their lives physically, medically. They just knew. I mean, the doctors wanted them to do certain things, but they just knew. No, I just know. And we say, we follow that. That's the peace of God. That we follow peace. Praise God. Oh, anyway, but so what he's saying here is, according to 2 Corinthians 4:18, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. We do look at things that are not seen, which means there must be more than one kind of looking. There must be more than one kind of seeing. There must be the ability. We as human beings must have the ability to see, number one, naturally. We all understand that. You can see me, you can see the building, you can see the flowers, whatever you can see. That's natural looking. But there is a spiritual sight that if you didn't have a body, you could still see. And it's a lot like being in your body and seeing with your physical eyes. Paul said, I knew a man in Christ, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell, caught up to the third heaven. And he said, I couldn't tell again. He said, if I was in my body or out of my body, the things I saw and I heard. He talked about revelation. He talked about hearing things. Revelation means revealed. He saw something. He said, I caught up to the third heaven, and I heard these things. I had these things revealed to me. He said, but I don't know. I couldn't quite tell if I was in the body or out of the body. Well, he later said in 1 Corinthians, he said, God has revealed these things to us by his Spirit. And he said, the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. What man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? He said, even so the Spirit of God, no man, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. We have received not the Spirit which is of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, and so forth. And he said, we have the mind of Christ. So he's describing later what he said before. I couldn't tell if I was in the body or out of the body, but he said, later he said, the Spirit revealed it to me, and he imparted it to my spirit. So what I heard and what I saw was not with my physical eyes, or I was not in my physical body, he's saying. I was seeing with the eyes of my spirit. But to say that he couldn't tell if he's in the body or out of the body means seeing with the eyes of your spirit must be a lot like seeing with the eyes of your flesh. In other words, there's similarities. There's similarities. And so if you didn't have a body, you could still see. Do you understand what I mean by that? So, you have more than two eyes. Go to Ephesians chapter number 1. Let's just take some time. I'm going to take some time because God's dealings with me concerning this subject in my preparation time have been very deep. So, I want to honor the way it's coming and share it the way it's coming. Here in, what did I say? Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 15. I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love and all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, now go, notice, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, and look at this word, revelation in the knowledge of him. In him realities, the knowledge of him. The eyes of your, King James says, understanding. Being enlightened. Now notice, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Most other translations say the eyes of your heart. The eyes of your heart. So those are not the ones in your head. And he's not talking about the physical blood pump. He's talking about the spirit of man. Man's a three-part being. He's really a spirit being, and he has a soul, lives in a body. We've shared that so many times, we almost neglect to go over it sometimes, but... you are not a body, you are not a mind, you are a spirit. When your body dies, your spirit will go to be with Christ, your soul will go with it, but really the real you is spirit. That's the part that's going to live forever. And that part of man, your inward man, Bible calls it the body of the outward man, and the inward man's made up of spirit and soul. That inward man, particularly talking about the spirit man, has eyes. That's what sees it when you say, oh my goodness, I never saw that before. In other words, knowledge of a reality that was in the Bible the whole time got unveiled. Just like they reveal that car, or they reveal that computer. They pull the cloak. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He pulls the cloak off. You remember 1 Corinthians 3? Paul said, we use great plainness of speech, seeing we have these things, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face. You remember that? So that the Israelites could not steadfastly behold what was coming, you know, the glory that would be fading away. He said, but in Christ, that veil is done away with in Christ. He said, the Old Testament, the Jews, he said, reading the Old Testament, still have that veil over their mind. He said, that veil is done away in Christ. Hallelujah. In Christ, you should be seeing who He is. You should be having revelation of who you are in Him. All the mysteries of God ought to be flooding the eyes. The light of that should be flooding the eyes of your spirit regularly. Faith needs the world uses the word epiphany. It needs daily, regular epiphanies like, oh, I see it, I see it. That's what faith is built on. It's not just built on, I log this information in my brain and I repeat it like a parrot out of my head and out of my memory. That's not what faith is all about. It is a living reality of a truth that has come into your spirit. Your eyes were open. The veil was taken off of that truth. And all of a sudden you see it. And you get it. That's the way we say it. I get it. Too many Christians haven't got it yet. They've got some things, but they haven't got the Christ. They have the Christ in their own image, but they don't have the Christ of the Bible. The Savior, the Healer, the Baptizer in the Holy Ghost, the one who will guide you in all the affairs of life. Stick closer than a brother. Be an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Be peace that passes all understanding. Gives you joy in the midst of test and trial. I mean, that Christ has to be unveiled. A businessman in the community said to me recently, he said, I've been saved for a long time, but he said, just recently I got hungry and I started realizing, wait a minute, Jesus is not just Savior, He's everything I need. Yeah. If I need a question answered, He's got the wisdom for that. Yeah. Amen. If I need peace, He's that. And I thought, yeah, the veil just came off. So he said here, he's praying. Paul prays for the church at Ephesus that they would get it. The eyes of their understanding or the eyes of their heart would be, I always say it this way, flooded with light. Enlightened. Enlightened. I mean, flooded means just floods in and people go, oh my God. That's probably the most common testimony that we get at Spirit of Faith Family Church. Some people get mad. Some people are like frustrated. Some people are like happy. But it's usually something like this. Why didn't they tell me this in the church I was growing up in? You know, they're kind of mad. Why didn't they teach me this? In other words, they're seeing things they never saw before. The spiritual battles you are in or go through in life are not between sickness and healing or you know, defeat and victory or something like that. It's between truth and lies. It's between truth and lies. Well, I'm just a failure. That's a lie. How can you be a failure when you're always triumphant in Christ? How can you be a failure when I can do all things through Christ? See, that hasn't dawned on the person that says they're a failure. It hasn't dawned on them. In other words, the veil has not come off. Oh, they might chatter it. They might mentally repeat it. They might have sat in church and hear it preached. But that doesn't mean they got it. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus that he had been to. He's the founding minister, the founding pastor of that church. He had preached these truths that he wrote to them in the book of Ephesians. He had preached them to them whenever he was there. He probably had preached them repeatedly. Yet he writes to them and said, I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. In other words, here's the point. They had heard what he had he wrote in the book of Ephesians. They had heard what he wrote in the book of Ephesians. They had heard it preached several times. But he said, I'm writing to you that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. In other words, it must be that just because you heard it, you don't get it. Or else why would Paul say, I'm praying the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Because you and I can hear it, not just you. You and I can hear it and not get it. That's why ministers go over things over and over and over again. Not because they don't have another sermon. You realize we could spend hours on preaching on who the Antichrist, I mean, not who he's going to be, but I mean all the characteristics of the Antichrist and all of that. But, you know, that doesn't really, that's after you're out of here. Let's get it about who we are in Christ. And that'll hold him back. The Bible said so. So anyway, but, you know, praise the Lord. Anyway, so he said here in Ephesians, the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. So the beginning of every Bible subject working for you is the revelation of it. I said the beginning of every Bible subject working for you is the revelation of it. And when you do have revelation of it, it will show you how to act on it. Right now. It'll show you right now. Here's what you do right now. Somebody said, I see it, but what do I do? That you don't see it yet. I know some of you are thinking about that. Hello? When your eyes are enlightened, you see it, and it will show you how to act on it right now. That's the beginning of it working for you, is you seeing it. And when you see how to act on it, in other words, let's put it this way. No revelation is complete until you see how to do it. And until you're walking in it. Somebody said, I get it. Not near as much as you will when you start doing it. As when you start doing it, then you'll really get it. You know, this is something that's interesting. In Philippians 4:12, Paul said, I know, I have learned. King James says, I have learned. And whatsoever state I am, therewith, King James is italicized, therewith is italicized. But I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to, the 12th verse, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed. King James says, I am instructed. It's the same Greek word for that's translated revelation through the New Testament there when he said, I'm instructed. The newer translations say, I have learned the secret. I have learned the secret. King James says, both to be full and to be hungry. The Way translation says, to be independent of circumstances. That's a revelation most people haven't gotten yet. That word, I am instructed, means I have learned the secret. What do you mean, secret? There are secrets to success in life, in the Bible, that when you learn them, the devil's ploys don't work anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Some people's lives, their emotions, their how well they're doing and all of that goes up and down with their circumstances. Paul said, I've learned to live totally independent of that. And he said, that's what enables me to be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the next verse. I can do all things through Christ. In other words, I live totally independent of the circumstances, and I just follow the Holy Ghost and be a doer of the word. He said, that's a mystery to a lot of people, but when you get it, and you learn that secret, this inside information, this which only initiated ones, those initiated into the revelation by the Holy Ghost pulling the cloak off of it, only those people get it. Other people are kicked, you know, to and fro, pillar to post by their job or their loss of their job or, you know, how good this is or whether the economy's up or down. Paul said, I'm independent of all of that. You ought to get that secret. You ought to get that revelation. This way of living will enable you to have no limitations. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The only way I live is walking by what I can't see. It's a revelation. And there are people sitting here that are looking at me that have gotten it. There are people looking at me that for 16 years haven't gotten it. It's getting to be less and less, thank God. Independent. Did you hear Miss Etta went home and had a pizza and had a circumstances? She could have had a good cry that night. But why miss a John Wayne for a cry spell? Yeah, independent. God's got something better. Where'd that come from? The unseen realm. the unseen realm. See, when things come up in your heart, you got to learn to trust that. Trust that. That's an unseen thing. Well, yeah, but I don't get it. But it came up in here. So that's reality. That's not a pipe dream. That's reality. Reality is there's something better. There's something better. Somebody said, but I don't know if it's reality or not. If it's of God, it's reality. And if it comes up in your spirit by the witness of the Spirit, that's God. Praise the Lord. So I have learned the secret. Now talking about 2 Corinthians now, back to 2 Corinthians 4:18, he said, we must have more than two eyes. The eyes of our heart. People sometimes call some people who wear glasses four eyes. All of us are four eyes. All of us have two eyes in our head and two eyes in our heart. Oh, thank you, Lord. Some of you are looking at me funny. So Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 couldn't tell if he's in the body or out of the body when he's caught up to heaven. So seeing in the spirit must be a lot like seeing with your natural eyes. Now here's what let me illustrate this way. You can quote a Bible verse and not see it because it's logged in your brain. Logged in your memory, you've heard it so many times, but not see it. Like take, for example, by his stripes I was healed. Or ye were, it means I was. You can quote that and still say, yeah, but I'm not. Isn't that right? And you're now trying to get something that God said you already are. Why do people ask God to do something that the Bible says he's already done? Oh, God, deliver me. But the Bible says he hath delivered us from the authority of darkness. Oh, God, heal me. The Bible says by his stripes you were healed. Oh, God, bless me. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place. Has already done it. Oh, God, if you'll accept me, the Bible said we are accepted in the beloved. Lord, if I could just be righteous. He has already made us the righteousness of God in Christ. And that goes on and on throughout the Bible. Many people, though, are asked Christians. People that love God with all their heart, don't misunderstand me, but they're asking God to do things that he already said he already did. Why are they asking him to do something that he already said he already did? It's because they don't see that he already did it. They're walking by sight. The eyes of their heart has not been enlightened to it. Or it was, they were, I could say, and or they slipped. The truth slipped. How many of you know, just because we saw it yesterday doesn't mean we see it today. If you're trusting God in an area, walking by faith in an area, your faith needs a fresh revelation of the reality of the Word of God you're standing on every day. Every day, the eyes of your spirit need to see the same truth that you stood on a week ago when you first took your stand. Every day, refresh that revelation. I don't know why that went over some of you. You missed that. Every day. Hallelujah. So, the beginning of every Bible subject working for you is the revelation of it. Somebody said, why do you keep saying that? Because I heard the Holy Ghost say that to me last night. The beginning of every Bible subject working for you is the revelation of it. Well, it's easy for me to receive forgiveness, but that healing part, that's hard. Well, it's just a matter of not needing revelation. I mean, it's a matter of needing revelation. People's faith is misplaced sometimes. They ought to place their faith on getting it. Once they get it, things will start working with ease. It's worth whatever you do to get it. You know what I mean by get it? So the beginning of every revelation or every Bible subject working for you is the revelation of it. And when you see it, it will show you how to act on it right now. And no revelation is complete until you're walking in it. People that say they see it, but they're not walking in it yet, they don't see it like others who walked in it for 30 years see it. Amen. And when you start walking in what you see from the truths of God's Word, it then moves from an inward thing, in other words, an inward revelation, to an outward manifestation. That's how you bring it into outward manifestation. You walk in the inward revelation of it, acting on it until it manifests in the outward life, in your outward life. It's only when you're enlightened on the inside that your spirit man can lay hold of it. When your spirit man is enlightened, when the truth of God's word floods into the eyes of your spirit, and you see it, we say, or we say, we get it, or I understand, or some different ways, or different times it's said different ways. When that comes, that and only then and only then can your spirit man lay hold of that. In other words, healing, for example. Your spirit man can't lay hold of healing until your eyes are enlightened to the healing word. But whenever it sees it, your spirit man, it can grab onto it. It saw it. I said it got revelation by the aid and assistance of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Revelation is the source or the genesis of faith. Faith is not based on sense knowledge. Faith is based on revelation knowledge. It's when you see it, faith comes. We talk about faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But you look up the word, hearing by the word of God. The word is the word rhema, which is a different word translated word. Other translations, other Greek words translated word is logos, which is the written word. But rhema is the spoken word. In other words, not just the word you heard, but the word that came alive and was spoken by the Holy Spirit to your spirit. You and I have to know that the Holy Spirit wants to take this book and breathe on it and make it a living reality inside of your heart and your understanding of your mind and enlighten your mind. Amen. And it's spoken. It's a living thing. Anything that God speaks is alive. This Bible is alive. The word is quick. It's alive. The word quick means alive and powerful. It's not a dead history book like you know, you read history in school or college and, you know, you heard about the old time days or whatever and that's all dead and gone. This book is alive. Every word of God is alive. And it can come alive to you as the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. Amen. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So this is how we got the scriptures. Men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Somebody wrote it down. It was spoken. Somebody wrote it down. Listen, it was spoken so it could be written down, and it was written down so it could be spoken. The voice of God is still in those words to where it comes alive and you hear it. Not like a dead page, not like some ink on a page, some dead thing, some dead principle or something like, you know. And you know what I'm talking about? Yes, sir. God's voice, every word of God still has his voice in it. Yes, sir. Amen. And that's where faith comes whenever you hear him speak this word to you. Yeah. I don't mean it's audible. Right. It can be, but it's usually not. Yeah. But it comes alive on the inside of you. Somebody said, I've had that before. Yeah, and you need to have it more. You and I, both of us, all of us need to have it more. We get it. It's amazing. You can teach on the trap of offense. And people go out and get offended. You teach on being faithful. And people go quit their helps ministry. You teach on other things and people do the opposite. What is that? They don't get it. I said, they don't get it. What's the solution? Them getting it. That's why Paul said, I pray the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So 2 Corinthians 4, it says, we look at things that are not seen. When our eyes are enlightened on the inside, amen, that's when your spirit can lay hold of it. It's the source of faith. This is where much of the church is missing it. Much of the church still operates in sense knowledge or operates in mental assent. They mentally assent that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but they don't accept the miracles today that he did back then as if he was the same. They mentally agree with it, but they don't actually believe it. is where much of the church is missing it. Amen. They'll mentally agree the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for everybody. But when you talk about, okay, well, they spoke with tongues whenever they were baptized in the Holy Ghost over and over again. Well, yeah, but, you know, you don't see it. You don't see it. Tell me I'm preaching all right. Seeing in the Spirit means you don't come ask questions about it, means you're starting, now you'll go around preaching it. You'll not say, do I see it? You're out declaring it. When you see it, you'll start declaring it. Amen. Much of the church is missing it there. They don't really see the truths of the Bible, especially the in Christ realities. They're trying to lay hold of the truths with their head. Head knowledge informs, revelation knowledge imparts truth into the Spirit as a deposit. It's like God takes the reality of it and just deposits it on the inside. And somebody says, how do you know? You go, I don't know, but I just know it. Yeah. I don't know, but I just know it. Yeah. That's revelation.
Yeah, that's good.
The head still doesn't quite understand it. It passes all understanding. Remember, the peace of God in situations can pass all your mind's understanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Goes beyond explaining. How do you explain it? How do you, I just have it. It's a deposit. It's not something that your head gets. The information in your head doesn't still get it, but it was imparted as a deposit into your spirit. You get it? Amen. Those are different eyes that see that. Amen. And there's more than one kind of seeing, like we said. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart. That would include guard what your eyes are seeing. Somebody said, well, this is not a big deal. Why does Satan work so hard then to keep you from seeing the truth of God's word and give you a vision of his image of you? Sick, broke, busted, disgusted, unforgiven, you know, still guilty, a worm, you know, all these religious things. Why does Satan work so, if this is not a big deal, why does Satan work so hard to condemn us, to make us feel guilty for our past, to bring up all kinds of failures and tell us we're a failure and tell us we're this, we're that, we're broke, we're busted, we're disgusted, we're nothing but a worm and we're just trying to hold out until Jesus comes? Why does he work so hard to get that on the inside of every one of us? Anybody know what I'm talking about? If this is not a big deal, I said, if this is not a big deal, why does he work so hard? Let me give you a definition. One of my favorite definitions of what revelation is. It's what you see with your heart. It's what you see, lest we could say the eyes of your heart. It's what you're seeing on the inside. You can look at things out here, but you're seeing something else in here. You can look at good circumstances out here and see failure on the inside. You can look at bad circumstances out here and still see victory on the inside. Totally independent of the two eyes in your head. Are you getting it? Hallelujah. It's what you see with the eyes of your heart. Praise God. It's what you see with the eyes of your heart. You have to guard what you're seeing on the inside. Inside of your spirit, you can watch Holy Ghost videos. God just showing you success and future victories. And in fact, the more these truths get into you, you'll even dream that way. You won't have dreams of failure and dreams of being afraid and being chased by the devil or dreams like that. You know what I'm talking about? See, tell your neighbor. We know what he's talking about, although we don't like to talk about it. Yeah, more and more, my dreams have nothing to do with all the devil's stuff. My dreams more and more have to do with preaching the word and moving in the spirit and just the future that's bright for us. And because it's just getting in every pore of my spirit, my mind, my intellect, my thought life, my imaginations. It's in my you know, everything. It's getting everywhere. Just get the word in everything you can get it in. Get it in your eyes. Get it in your ears. Get it in your thinking. Give it in your mentality. Get it. If there's a place to put it, stuff it in there. Get it in every part of your being. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Stop watching the devil's videos and start watching God's videos. When the devil starts playing a video, hit pause. And say, and you start saying with your mouth, I am always triumphant in Christ. And you quote the word and start watching videos of God's word.
Amen.
On purpose. Just replace his videos. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. His videos are usually nothing but dramas, horror movies, or something like that. Failed love stories, all kinds of junk. Why don't you watch something that's got victory in it? You don't have to watch the devil's pictures. Watch God's pictures. He's got all kinds of pictures of you in here.
Amen.
We look in the glass. We look as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord changed into the same image. He's got pictures of you in here.
Amen.
Pictures, reality, not fake news, reality. This is, thy word is truth. That word means reality. This is reality. This is who you are. Forget about looking to the psychologist for who you are, or looking to your job, or looking to what other people think, but look at who God says you are. That's reality. Watch those pictures, and if you ever get those pictures get dim, just open your Bible and say, I'm accepted in the Beloved. I am the righteousness of God. I'm forgiven. My past is gone. I'm always triumphant. Just whatever you need. God's got a picture of you in here for your need.
Yes.
Guard your heart. Guard the eye. Guard what you're seeing.
Yes.
People in healing school, we used to work in healing school, kind of thing in ministries, they would make confessions to us in public, but then they'd go home and make their funeral plans. Well, they're seeing something other than what they're saying. Just parroting the word doesn't make it faith. When it's faith, you see it. Somebody said, well, I thought we walked by faith, not by sight. I'm talking about two different kinds of sight. I'm talking about real true faith sees it on the inside. If you don't see it on the inside, you're not in faith yet. That's the Bible. We walk by and think. We do look at things that are not seen because we walk by faith. Are we getting it? There was a story, a minister told a story, I think I've shared it before. He had a cabin up in, I believe it was Arizona, but wherever it was, somewhere out west, had a cabin he bought just for, you know, to enjoy times off, go up there and stuff. And a minister friend of his found out about it and wanted to go. So he said, yeah, sure, you can go up there. And so he went up to this cabin. His minister friend went up there for, I don't know, whatever, a few days. And it was kind of hot up there, so he went over to the thermostat and turned it, turned the air conditioning on and turned it down to, I think he said, 72. And an hour later, it wasn't getting cool. So he went over and turned it down to 70. And it still wasn't getting cool. So he turned it down to 68. And it still wasn't getting cool. Just stayed the same temperature. And he's like, well, something's wrong. So he went outside and he went around the house, walked the whole way around the house. And there was no air conditioning. There was no air conditioning condenser unit anywhere. None on the roof. He could see the roof. None around the house. There was no air conditioner. He just had vents, and he had a thermostat, which went nowhere. No wires connected to that thermostat. He called his friend, and he said, you've got a thermostat on the wall, but you don't have any air conditioning. And the friend didn't even know it. Anyway, so that's another story. But here's the point. People sometimes have a confession, but no revelation. In other words, they got a thermostat on the wall and they're trying to change the temperature of things in their life, but then they're making a confession, but there's no real power in it because there's no real revelation in what they're saying. They're just parroting what somebody else said. Well, down there at the church, they said that Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. That's hand-me-down revelation. That's not your revelation. You just said down there at the church, they say, and that's not something that you have personally taken for yourself and taken ownership of it. You're just saying that's what they preach down at the church I go to. Hand-me-down revelation. Hand-me-down revelation makes you an echo, not a voice. When you say it, You are an echo. You're echoing or parroting what somebody else said. And maybe what they said, they had revelation of it when they said it. But you don't have revelation because you're just repeating what somebody else said, making you an echo, not a voice. And the spirit realm doesn't respond to echoes. It responds to voices. The devil can hear the sound of empty talk. Just like you can pick up a can. I could have two cans. One's full of beans. One's got the bottom out of it. And it's sitting on the table. And you can't see it. It's got the bottom out of it. And there's no beans in it. But one's got beans and the other one doesn't. And you can bang on both of those cans. And you can hear which one's empty and which one's full. Just like the devil's the same way. He can hear you talking. And he can hear emptiness. He can hear. There's no substance to that. I'm coming for that because there's nothing there. There's no substance. He can hear that. Spiritual people can hear it too. I don't listen to what people say. I listen to what my spirit says when they say it. Not that I'm walking around being a Holy Ghost policeman to everybody. I'm talking about people that are coming to me for help. Well, the Lord told me to quit my job and walk by faith. Something doesn't ring true a lot of times. There are times it does ring true. Hello. I wish I could spend some more time on that, but praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's not just confession. It's confessing what you see. It's revelation of what you see. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's what you see on the inside, the picture you have of the word inside of you. Hallelujah. You remember Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And he's talking about this revelation. Confession of true reality of revelation has come to Peter. And he confessed it. And Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell won't prevail against that. Right. In other words, the gates of hell can prevail against no revelation. You understand what I'm talking about? This is what hell can't prevail against. Remember, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness can't comprehend that. That's what you need whenever you speak. It needs to come out of revelation because it's the sort of source of faith, because it's the source of your victory. Well, can I wrap up just a few things? I'm almost done. The Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words has one of my favorite definitions and descriptions of revelation knowledge that I've ever found anywhere. And I want to share it with you if I can. The Vine's Dictionary says, this word revelation, also translated reveal or revelation, it's primarily that which is known to the initiated. Or the initiated into mysteries. It's really what I wanted to get to today, but again, we're out of time. When Paul said in Philippians 4:12, I have learned the secret, this is talking about a one that has received a revelation. And he was initiated into this revelation by the help of the Holy Spirit. This is the vines. And in the Greek, it's not the word, when we read the word mystery, anybody ever read that word in the Bible? The mystery of the gospel, the Bible talks about that word over and over again. I wanted to get some more time on that today, but when the New Testament uses the word mystery, it does not denote the mysterious as the English word means. We talk about a mystery, it's something mysterious. But the Greek word mystery doesn't mean that. The Greek word mystery means that which is outside the range of unassisted natural apprehension and can be known only by divine revelation. It's made known by God and the Holy Spirit only to those who are illuminated by His Spirit. In the ordinary sense, a mystery implies knowledge withheld, but in the scriptural sense, it means truth revealed. I can speak in tongues and tell you what that means to me, but then you wouldn't get it either. So that is huge. In like movies, mystery movies or something, there's always something that is mysterious about who killed them. Who did it? I mean, there's something you just don't understand. But in the scriptural term of the use of the word or the term mystery, it doesn't mean that which is not known, but that which is revealed by the Holy Spirit, and you can't know it any other way. Do you get that? The Vines goes on and says, in the ancient Greek world, the mysteries were religious rites and ceremonies practiced by secret societies into which anyone who so dared might be received. We have those kinds of groups today. The Knights of Columbus, all these people. There's societies which secretly talk about things. Some of them are very wicked. I'm not encouraging any of that. I'm just telling you where the Greeks had some of these things. It means the among the ancient Greeks, the mysteries were these religious rites and ceremonies practiced by secret societies into which anyone who so desired might be received. Those who were initiated into those mysteries became possessors of certain knowledge which was not imparted to the uninitiated. And those who were initiated in and got this knowledge were called the perfected. This is the Greek society and the way they used these terms. They were called the perfected. And in 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 16, you ought to go home and read this because Paul is actually using the way the Greeks did this to describe us. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 16, the apostle there has these mysteries in mind and presents the gospel as a mystery. In Paul's use of the word mystery, those who have the mystery are the perfect. We speak the mystery to those who are perfect. Are you still with me? I'm almost done. And of course, those are the believers who can perceive the things revealed because they have the Holy Spirit. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man things which God has prepared for them that love him. See, those are outside people that aren't in the body of Christ. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God, yea, and we have received not the Spirit which is of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I said the natural, I'm almost done. I know it's, you might say it's getting deep. No, it's actually getting easier. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man can't comprehend it. Think about Ephesians 3:19. Are you with me? I'll just quote it to you. We're getting some things are going off in some of your hearts. Ephesians 3:19, he wants us to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. What? Know something that goes beyond knowing? Know the love that God has for you that goes beyond knowledge. I don't get it. How can I know something that goes beyond knowing? Your heart can know things by revelation that goes beyond your head. I said it can know things that goes beyond your head and go beyond your head's capacity to take it in. There are things that come up out of your heart that your head goes, oh, I don't get it. I just don't understand. You'd be wise to learn not to discount that or discredit that just because this can't figure it out. Because you're about to be taken into, if you'll walk in the light of that revelation, God will take you into an impossible opportunity. It's impossible for you and your own ability to get into. Because now you're over in the realm of faith. Not walking out of your head, you're walking out of your spirit by faith. This is this new way to live, which if you learn to do it, it'll change everything in life. Glory. Well, I want to be initiated. I want to be initiated. Pastor, I want to be initiated. Take me into these secrets. Number one, be born again. Lest a man is born again, Jesus said in John 3:3, lest a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, let's put it this way. Unless you're born again, you'll never get it. Well, you'll never get when we talk about in church. I said you'll never get it. Be born again. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, you'll not get the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That's number one. Number two, be a person of faith. Faith is your initiation. Of course, that's what got you born again, but you realize, continue to walk by faith, because Revelation 1:17, where we were last Sunday, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. But here's the point. Everything else is too. From faith to faith. Everything in God is revealed by faith. Just keep on reaching in faith, believing that He'll make it worth your while to seek this knowledge in faith.
Yes.
Go after it.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Did you get anything out of the service today? Praise the Lord. Revelation affects the way you conduct life in this realm. Amen. When the storms of life arise, a man without revelation will say something like, grab a bucket, start bailing water. Jesus in a boat rose and said, peace, be still. That's a different approach. Amen. Tell the storm to be still. That's a man with revelation. Amen. This revelation knowledge will just flat turn your life around. And it will just flat turn you into another person. I said it will. You'll conduct life from an unseen realm, and people don't know why. What makes you tick? What makes you succeed? What makes you go those directions that doesn't make any sense? Why retire from something that doesn't make any sense? It was good. Just had an unction. Just saw inside I needed to. We're not preaching being weird for weird's sake. We're not preaching just doing these things out of our head. Okay, but we're talking about learning to know the Spirit of God, and when you see it, you act on it. I said, when you see it, you act on it. Walking in this will take you much further in life than your limited intellectual faculties ever could. Walking in revelation. Walking in revelation. Hallelujah. Stand with me to your feet.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.